what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain.
Receive from Jesus
fountains of your heart to move as His. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in You. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us go there. To face with courage our shame and disgrace, You comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for You.
An empty tomb and cloak a curse of sorrow.
Endured until tomorrow Your cross of suffering. Of Jesus.
Embrace the cross.
Thank you so much. Very nice. Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. You all know that America is the land of opportunity. How many of you had Kool-Aid stands when you're 7 years of age? Hands, please. You put the Kool-Aid sign up. Thank you. Again, hands. Let me see all those Kool-Aid. Look at that. You're all entrepreneurs. You're all businessmen. You started when you were 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, the next tough question. How many sold any? About half. Kool-Aid lemonade. How many had vegetable stand? You sat out there with the vegetables. A few. Thank you. A few. Yes, you. Yes, you are. Well, that was your first chance for opportunity in the land of America, wasn't it? How many remember your first job? Remember it? The first paid job. First paid job. All right. Bagging groceries. How many had that job? My first paid job. Bagging groceries. Had to get working papers. 15 years of age. Thank you. I forget what I got an hour. It wasn't much. And then my big-time job, 16, I didn't need working papers. 29 cents an hour working for Mr. Bernstein, folding boxes in his clothing store, big time. And then I went to work for my uncle. I got $31 a month, Uncle Sam. Land of opportunity. I look around today and all over the place, help wanted, help wanted. I mean, people drive around with trucks, Pizza House, everybody, help wanted. One reason you got so much signs up like that, we killed off all these babies since Roe versus Wade. They would have been in the workplace. I'm not even talking about the moral end of it. I'm talking about the economic end of it. Took out all that kind of help. History, man. That's why you get all these jobs. Bad, all right. But it's a land of opportunity. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on a simple text. You remember Moses? Down in Egypt, born of his parents, king said, kill all the boy babies. We don't want any revolutions being started by the Hebrew people in Egypt. Even though Joseph, their great progenitor, was the man that saved Egypt and he saved Israel and he saved all the Greco-Mediterranean world from famine. And then, of course, the king arose and forgot Joseph. Moses was born and his parents said, no, by faith we'll not kill this little fellow. And they kept him. He got raised, as you know, in the king's palace. By the providences of God, his mother was a paid babysitter, how marvelous. And then he thought, all right, Lord, this is enough. My people aren't going to be in slavery all their lives. I'll go out. And so he takes the life of one in his attempt to free his people. And the next day someone says, I saw you kill that Egyptian. And he panics, runs away, 40 years in Midian, taking care of the sheep. Meanwhile, God's getting ready. He lets him go through two-thirds of his life to get to the main point of his life. Everything to your life to this point is training for the rest of your life. God appears to him in a burning bush, and Moses can't believe it. God starts to talk to him. He says, I want you to go deliver my people. He says, yeah, but they won't know that who you are. Well, tell them I'm the everlasting God. Yeah, but suppose I'm slow of lips. And by the time this man who says he's slow of speech, he gives God a lot of fast talk with excuses, with slow lips. Very amazing. And then verse 1, chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? I've been away 40 years. I've lost all my, you know, all my PR. I don't have any PACs. I don't have any political PACs to go push for me here. What are the polls going to say about me? Moses who? They're going to say, the Lord didn't appear to you. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? What is in your hand? Well, it says just plain old nubby grubby shepherd's staff. I carried one for 40 years, same piece of wood. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, no, come back here first. Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So as Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. My question to you today is, what's in your hand? Say wrinkles, more than that. What is in your hand? Now, the message of this text is to show you that which is everyday common to you in your hand can become a miraculous opportunity. What's in your hand every day? Oh, I got a friendship with Joe. What's every day to you? Well, still living with my same wife, same kids, same job, ConAgra, US West, some other company, much smaller. What's in your hand today? I mean, I want to tell you I needed this sermon today. Maybe you don't, I do. So if you don't get anything out of it, that's okay. I got a lot out of it already because I know what's going to come here. It's not that profound. It's very simple. But I need it. God gave me a lift out of this thing. I hope to give you a lift out of it. There's nothing profound. Sometimes I try to unscrew the inscrutable for you, preach the unpreachable, and search the unsearchable. But you don't need that today. I just need to say to you today, look, folks, 1992, here we are. What's in your hand? I mean, Moses walking along 40 years taking care of woolies, okay? And all of a sudden, God says, what do you got in your hand? And it made his day. Not it made his day. It made his destiny. And it made his future. And I want to say that I'm going to be tripping up over what's in front of me. I could tell you a story about a man in South Africa when the diamond mine thing went on. I could give you his name and date, but I'll tell you this, just simply this. This man, when he heard about the diamond mines south of his property, man, he sold out. And he went down and he dug all his life trying to find diamonds. He never found anything. He sold his land off and went there. And you know the rest of the story, as the news commentator said. And now for the rest of the story. The land he sold became the largest diamond mine in the whole area. What's in your hand? Land of opportunity. A church of opportunity. Open Bible. The Spirit is free to work in here according to the gifts and the workings and the fruits of the Holy Ghost. And the Great Commission and all the rest. The various helps that you can receive here. The tape library. You have the opportunity of serving from here all the way to Africa, just like D.N. Earhart and the 25 people we got in Mexico crossing the border in about 2 hours. What's in your hand? You know what I find out? I find out I sat here in this church with the opportunities so great and so rich and so free, I began to take it for granted and forget that they look very stimulating to me. That's not, you gotta be kidding, no? And God has given me a whole renewal in my heart of what's in my hand. What's in my hand? And not take it for granted that the smallest opportunity is a chance for a miraculous opportunity. And so it is with you. So it is with you this morning. Now, some things will have to happen for that to revive your heart, like my heart's been revived. Lord, keep it up. Moses carried that thing around for 40 years, whacking a bush, pulling a lamb back from where he shouldn't be, waving it at a threatening animal that might come for his sheep. But when he saw the bush burning and got there, and the voice said, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, for I am the Lord." He took off his sandals and came in contact with holy ground. And the better thing for you is you're coming in contact with the holy God. Not just holy ground, holy God. That every child of God is in contact with the holy God. Every child of God, by the indwelling Holy Ghost, is in contact with the living God. Not only the holy God, not holy ground, but a holy God. Now, in the light of God's presence renewed to me, I start looking at all the common stuff that's in my hand. Now, apart from that, same old rod, every day, same job, pound the nails, whack the computer when it doesn't work right. Come on, garbage in, garbage out. You know, soft drive, overdrive, no drive, the whole thing. Power drive, over, all that kind of stuff. You can tell I'm an expert in the field of computers. But in the presence of God, a renewed consciousness. Hey, look, you're not just junk floating down the river of time. You're people redeemed by the word of God and by the grace of God and the blood of God. If you're born of God, that's what you are. And you're in contact, not with holy ground, but with the holy God. Now ask yourself, or let the Lord ask you, what's in your hand? Well, the same three kids, runny noses, ear infections this week again. Same supervisor who's down on my back. Da-da-da. Yep, that's right. Hasn't changed. Moses' rod hadn't changed. 40 years, same rod, same sheep, same desert, same track. Same wife, same father-in-law, same geography. 40 years, folks, and no retirement in view. But when God says, "This is holy ground, I'm here." He always was there. But now he reveals himself. So ask yourself this morning, you go back to the same hairdresser, you go back to the same job, what's in your hand in the presence of God? Now that makes it different. And when Moses looks at his rod, he says, "Oh, I got the rod. See, I'm a salesman for this company. I'm working on my undergraduate work and a job here, the same old rod, but in the presence of God, it's going to take on a different sense and feel." A rod is a common thing before God that determines your destiny. And his life was going to be slowly but surely changed from the moment that he saw that what was in his hand, in the presence of God, in the will of God, was going to greatly change him and change his people and change his nation. Now, we may not have that kind of concentric influence out from us, but it changed Moses a great deal. And when I see my job and what's in my hand, whether it's my family, my wife, my whatever, this staff, this church, my relationship and privilege of knowing God, that's in my hand. How many people in this world don't know God, don't care about God, don't wonder anything about Jesus Christ, don't care about the Bible? How often is this book in my hand? How do I pick it up? I want to tell you, what's in your hand? The Bible. Same old Bible. I'm burying through the Psalms. I hope I can find some help. I want to tell you, what's in your hand? Like a Bible. I got a sermon up. Whoa, wait a minute. This is a communication with the Almighty. That now that you're in contact with the Word and you're in contact with the Holy God within, let him work in your heart and show you this is no uncommon thing. And try to put Bibles in 156 nations, trying to get the Bible to people whose tongues have just been interpreted and translated. So when you pick up the Bible, what's in your hand? A Bible. Oh, in the presence of God. That's going to be different, Lord. I'll get something out of my heart to glorify you today. What's in your hand? Now, that's what's common. Let me ask you. God's very interested in your destiny and your job and your life. Are you content with your job? Many people aren't. Is your content holy? That is, I'm happy, I'm hearing the will of God, I'm being challenged, I got all I can lay my hands on, praise God. But are you discontent with your job? Yeah. Is it holy discontent? Or is it, I'm just mad at the boss? They should have given me a raise last year. Maybe they should have, but they didn't. Is it a holy discontent or is it an unholy discontent? Am I a griper and a complainer and a murmuring type of employee? I mean, okay, has God put you there? Hasn't he? Have you found out where God wants you? What kind of discontent do you have? If it's a holy discontent, fine. Listen, promotion cometh not from the east or from the west nor from the south. But promotion cometh from the Lord. He puts up one, takes down another. And God's very interested in you and your promotions and in your life and how it's happening. Maybe your hand is full. Say, man, all I got right now, I got three kids and keep my happy husband going is all I can handle. And I praise God, I'm perfectly fulfilled and I'm moving on with the challenges of that life. Praise God. That's what's in your hand. And sometimes younger mothers who really pant after God get really frustrated because they got three children under 6 years of age. They don't have the time with the Lord that they want. And it always seems like when they open the Bible, the baby just wakes up from his nap and you just can't get any momentum going. And God understands that. And don't eat your heart out because God knows your heart and you love him. And the day will come when the kids are in school, you have more time. Till then, you do what you can. Oh, what's in my heart, in my hand? Well, just my job. But you see, I'm not married. I always hoped I'd be married, have a family, and here's my job, but it's not there. I have a vacuity and an emptiness here, and I'm just struggling with that. What's in your hand? In the presence of God, your singleness can be in your hand as a gift of God for service. You have to see whatever's in your hand in the presence of God. Otherwise, it becomes the pits. It becomes a place of disappointment, a place of griping and complaining and of being dissuaded. Some of you may be going through job changes. You've been leveraged out or bought out or whatever else out. The government just hit you with 13 more regulations in your business and you don't know how you're going to make the budget this year because the regulations cause all this kind of expense. And you're not even in a threat to the environment. And boy, if I don't see this in the presence of God, I'm going to feel, yeah. Now there are steps you need to take politically or governmentally, fine. But I have to say this, here I am today in the presence of God, and I want to know how I'm going to get through this. Well, I want to see it from your point of view, Lord. You're asking me, and you're asking everybody in this room, what's in your hand? And maybe you feel you've been on the back burner. Moses was for 40 years. Zero notoriety. Nobody knew him. Wife and family, they forgot him back in Egypt just about, because he went back, they kind of remembered him, but they weren't too excited about his coming back. Now, what about your job? Do you want to be doing the same job 5 years from now that you're doing right now? You want the same thing 5 years from now you're doing right now? Do you want to be doing the same thing 10 years from now that you're doing right now? Maybe you do. Only better or bigger. Praise God. Suppose you don't. What's in your hand? What are you doing so it will be different 5 years from now? Are God's giftings in you being fulfilled? And I don't mean in some dreamy thing. If you flunk geometry and algebra and you think you're going to be an astronaut, don't count on it. If you can't stand blood, don't count on being a physician. Obviously, let's get real. What steps are you taking to fulfill that? Now notice, this is in the presence of God, not some zip it up and get an ego trip going. But we all have received giftings of God and talents for which we will give an account. Wonderful. Do you feel those are being fulfilled? What steps are you taking to make the changes you want in your life, economically, spiritually? Are you and your wife, or you, single, prepared to take the steps to change what your life is for what you want it to be in 5 years? Are you prioritizing the steps and the things in your life you need to do and your family's agreed on to get to where you want to be? What's in your hand? If you're happy right now and fulfilled with all you can do and your hands are full, praise God. Well, you say, the ride will always be a ride. It'll always be the same job. This boss ahead of me, he's 5 years younger than I am. He's going to be here longer after I'm gone. I got no chance for promotion. This is the pits. Maybe it is the pits. Have you prayed about it? You got before God and said, look, what's in my hand? I got a good-for-nothing dead rod job in my hand. The rod will always be a rod. No, the rod won't always be a rod. I'm going to tell you why. Because in the presence of God, when Moses threw that rod down before God, it went from a dead thing to a living thing. And when we're converted and give ourselves and throw ourselves down to the foot of the cross, we go from a dead thing to a living thing. And you'll notice that we've translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And when Moses threw the rod down, it went from being a member of the vegetable kingdom to a member of being a living reptile kingdom. And it went from just being dead to life. And this is the whole thing. In the presence of God, all things become alive when you commit them to him, including that job. Now, your job may not change and your supervisor may not change, but you will change. And after you're changed, God may change your job, your circumstances, or your supervisor. Not until, because he'll have to change you and me first, and our circumstances later. Now, you're raising the same child with the same husband or the same wife with the same Bible, and you say, well, she's never going to change, and she's saying you're never going to change. Well, you probably won't unless you see yourself in the presence of God. Do you want to change? What do you want to change? See, Moses is sitting there. He doesn't know what he's on the lip of national universal destiny. Well, as he knows, he's just dealing with a little piece of stick in his hand. You can pick up anyone anywhere you want. If you don't like this one, go hack that tree down and get a branch off that one. Just all the job I got. Wife I got, husband I got. And a lot of things are dead in the marriage or dead in the job. You all right? In the presence of God, we pop it before God and then see what in supernatural can do. But he obeyed God in the presence of God and see a whole new vision of what's going on in his life. Now, they did a big, big study on failures. There's enough material around for that subject. Failures. Failures in the lives of people, economically, vocationally. They came up with 31 reasons why people fail. And only one is really difficult to deal with and maybe not easily corrected. And that was the first one that they would put down, hard to deal with, and that was lack of brain power. So that makes sense. Now, before anybody said, yeah, that's my problem, I didn't hear anyone say, yeah, amen. I didn't hear anybody amen on that one. There's nobody in this room using all their brain power, just for openness, all right? What do we use? 2% of my brain, doctor? 3? Nobody's using 5. Now, you take this little boy that only got to the 6th grade. Now, you know he's not going to get anywhere in life. You just know it. I told you that little boy won't get anywhere. He dropped out after the 6th grade. No, his name was Henry Ford. He didn't get anywhere. And on that little boy, I think he only had 3 months of formal training, but he didn't get anywhere, no. No, his name was Edison. So there's nobody in this room using all their brain power. So we really don't have a big problem unless you were born with a deficiency that's just there, okay. But God will never hold you accountable for that either, will he? You know what the second, the most important one was? The failure. Lack of a well-defined purpose in life. Preachers are people that aim at nothing and usually hit it. Tonight, Brother Les leaves for meetings tonight. He'd normally have the evening service. I got it tonight, first time in 25 years, whatever it's been. And I'm going to pick up on this because I'm interested in your future. God is too. If he were, and I wouldn't be, but since he is, I share that interest. And I want you to come back tonight and ask me questions about your future. How can we change your future? How can the body of Christ, anything I know, help you change your future? Your job, your walk with God. I don't know how many people in this room have I passed out paper right now and said, please put down your plan for your life. Now, I don't say, hey, I'm feeding the kids, I'm washing the floor, get the laundry done, go to the office, make sure the quota's up. Right on, that's right. And that's all, and you're happy and that's taking all your life? That's great, man. We're not expecting you to go out and whip the world. But even in a woman's world at home, you can have a little goal that you're nibbling on in the side. Maybe it's to take aerobics this year. Well, say, it doesn't sound very... Hey, for the mother with 3 kids under 6 and the husband working 2 jobs, what do you expect? Cecil B. DeMille? I mean, that would be a big thing. What, do you have anything to affect... What plan do you have? What 1, 2, 3 things do you have that's going to change your future in the next year, the next 3 years, the next 6 months? Do you have it?
No, I don't. I'd like to have my life changed, but I just kind of drifted along. I hope it changes somewhere.
Ain't gonna. I'm, by nature, I'm a drifter. I'm a dreamer. I'd sit back, fish, wait for the bites, look at the clouds. Isn't that nice? Someone will feed me, I hope. Left to myself and my human nature, I'd spend the rest of my life doodling around with the most unimportant things of life in the game department of life. It's not all bad, but you can't make that your major, folks. It's just not going to happen. So I have to find, I have to keep gearing myself back to what are the God-appointed priorities I have in my life. Do I have anything 1, 2, 3, 4 that I'm pressing for? Because there's going to be enough things to blow you off. It's like typing, ASDFSEMILKJ. But one thing about the home keys, no matter where else the letter takes you, you always come back to them. And you've got to have that in your life as a, where do you come back to? Might be a small project. I'll learn how to do some craft stuff. I'm going to get this book read. It's that kind of a thing that's going to change your life. Or if you want to look long range, where am I headed in my career? What steps am I taking to evaluate it? What's the job market look like? Should I stay in this field? I knocked myself out and got this degree in college. Is it going anywhere? How can I revise it? That's what it's all about. What's in your hand? Third great reason for failure. Second was no defined purpose in life. Even if you stay right exactly where you are, but you can define it. I am now running a small business. I oversee 3 men. And my hands are full just doing that. Fine, sit down and think about how that can be improved or increased. Have you planned on what you're going to do in 5 years with that business? Will it be the same? Who'll buy it? Who'll sell it? What, I mean, do you ever do this? I don't like people to press me with these things because it makes me think. Now, 5% of the people think. 10% of the people think they think. And 85% of the people would rather die than think. But this is what life is made of. What's in your hand? If God asked you that, what would you tell him this morning? He's not going to beat you. God loves you. He had the best in mind for Moses. He has the best in mind for you. You may need some guidance and counsel. Seventeen years ago, I brought a series of sermons along this line. And I asked the Lord to give me 3 millionaires out of it. I didn't get 3 millionaires I know of, but I asked for it because I believe there is resident in every child of God. And some are more gifted than others. But listen, men are not paid for what they know. They are paid for what they do with what they know. And if you don't think there's a difference, think about it. Sometimes I frustrate myself and the board a little bit. And I say, well, what's your plan for the next 5 years? I don't know. God doesn't deal with me that way, but he shows me the next thing to do. I can come up with some good ideas. I want God ideas. The difference is night and day. God's ideas come pre-blessed. Good ideas should be examined, and if they're good, should be used, but I'm simply saying, what's down the road for me? I'm in the prime of my life. I'm looking ahead saying, Lord, what are you going to do with my life? I'm 65 and I'm enjoying self and almost in perfect health. The Lord has given into this hand of mine by his great grace, you dear people. And understand now, the glory of the king, scripture says, is his people. Okay? The opportunity to work with a marvelous staff that God has brought here. The opportunity to do something specifically and literally for every nation in the world, which you've done and will continue to do. You think you'd get, say, well, it's not enough. It is while you're there, but it's not enough when you get done and you keep on going. See, today's job was yesterday's vision. So don't complain about today's job because 2 years ago I was trying to dream and press and push to get this to where we are. So when you get here, don't complain about today because today's job was yesterday's vision. Now today's job becomes a platform for tomorrow's vision. And I don't care where you are in your life, I want to tell you, God is definitely interested in your future and your job and the development of his plans for you and your life. If you've got them already, praise God. If you don't, you ought to be thinking about it. What's in your hand? Okay? I gave you just 3 reasons. No, these can be changed. These can be changed. The renewing of your mind. And when God brought Joseph down to Egypt, He didn't bring him and put him in the country club and say, have a nice day and I hope your tennis game improves. Watch that backhand. And he went in, he came in a prisoner and went out the prime minister. Now there's a little bit of difference. And he didn't have prime minister. Two problems last night. Back to basics. Don't fumble, don't intercept. Okay? I thought basically it's a good learning game. I hoped they would win. They didn't win, okay. But it wasn't a blowout. And maybe if Veland been healthy, to have him in the quarterback, and so be it. Okay. God help you if your whole life rises and falls on who wins or who loses. And I, you know me, I'm sports-minded. My niece back home married a guy who roots for the New York Giants football team, and when they lose, he goes into depression for 2 days. Poor guy doesn't know the Lord Jesus, got all the money he wants, and he knows the price of everything, the value of nothing. Hope to pray for him, have a little bit of time with him. All right. Now I say, gee, I'm so pinched financially, I can't do anything. I couldn't even make any plans. Let me tell you, folks. Let your barrier be a problem for you. Let it be a stepping stone for you. It's going to either kill you or be a stepping stone, one or the other. It'll be a stone to stone you or a stone to step on and move on up. And it has to come within. I get depressed about once every 7 years. How about you? I'm not given depression. I'm kind of an outgoing, happy guy that doesn't know enough to be depressed. Like a little sign says, anyone that's happy in this circumstance simply does not understand what's going on. I got a little depressed the last month or two. A couple things happened and it kind of got my soul. But God help me with what I'm sharing with you. I want to help you. Gee, well, my finances are so bad, man, I can't believe this. Okay. Okay, maybe you got a budget. Maybe you need to reevaluate. People come in, they want money for help. We invariably help them. But invariably what they need is long-term help with their financing, know how to spend their money back to the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. If your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep is your downfall. Okay? And in this moment and advertising push of instant gratification, you're not going to have it all at one time. Well, you can have it all at one time, but you can have all the bankruptcy you want at one time, too. Now, the current age is going to have to get away from that. My finances are so bad. Well, I agree. Here, let me close with this. How would you like to make 1 or 2 cents an hour working under miserable conditions? Now, there were people doing that 130 years ago in England. Men, women, and children would work in the mines for 1 to 2 cents an hour and were making 45 cents a week, surviving on the pittance. Now that, I would say, is grinding poverty. And I would say economically, there was no way to help them. There was no OSHA. There was no anybody to watch out for civil rights. There was nobody looking for anything. They just say, you want to show up and get a penny an hour, show up. Otherwise, I got 10 more people like you I can get to get out of my face. There were 28 English weavers making 1 to 2 cents an hour. They lived in Toad Lane in Rochelledale, England. And all they could do was hold on and pray and work their tail off. And they got together to discuss their terrible, terrible circumstances. And in one of those little group meetings where they came home after their 14-hour day and no side benefits, they were just wondering, is there any way we can do better to when we buy our sugar or our flour or our wheat? And on one of those little non-formally called meetings, someone came up with a little sparked idea. And they said, do you think if maybe we pooled our pennies, literally pennies, that we could have one person buy our flour and our wheat and our sugar, and maybe we could get a little more for
for our money.
And so they pooled all they could, scrinched and saved, and they gave one man in English money 28 pounds. Now, a pound in that day, I don't know what a pound today is, probably $2.50. From the 26, they got 28 pounds. And they found that way that one man could go and he could buy their sugar and their wheat and their flour just for subsistence, wholesale, and come back and distribute more to the 26. Today, 300 million people are benefited by a plan that came from grinding poverty of 26 weavers in Toad Lane, England. And today, you call it co-ops. And so we have the farmers' co-op, and we have the electricians' co-op, and we have this co-op. And it didn't come from someone who had money to burn and had their front room done over in 20s. It came from people that were right down to nothing. And maybe your financial pinch is enough to get you some inspiration from God to find out how to change it, both in habit, disposition, and the creativity of God. What's in your hand? More than wrinkles. And don't throw your rod away, throw it at the feet of God. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm just a common person. I put myself at your feet. Come in, save me, be my Lord and Master. And right away, the miracle of life begins in the new birth. But God's not through when that happens. God's, listen, between now and the time we see his precious face, there's years that go by living in this world, and you can influence people for Jesus and in your economy and in your job. Listen, I may not have more wisdom than the world, but I'll tell you one thing. I have access to more wisdom than the world, and so do you. Why shouldn't you be the man that has the answers in the plant? Why shouldn't you be the one that has the answers in the management? You are in union and in contact not only with holy ground, but a holy God, the God who is the God of all wisdom. Not to make you a smart aleck, not to say, here I am, you lucky people, but to serve the Lord and be a light in your place, because you've tried to think, I've got to grub this thing out. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what the answer is to this office job. We got a problem with the plant. Lord, we got a problem here in management. We got a problem in marketing. I don't know. We've wrestled with this thing. Jesus, do you have any ideas about this? Why not? Why not? May the mind of Christ be yours. I want to pick it up here tonight. I want you to bring your questions. God's interested in your future, and so am I. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, for what's in my hand, Lord, keep me from ever taking it as common. Keep me from ever thinking that it's run out of gas. It hasn't, Lord. It just was a flaw in my own soul, and I thank you've brought me into your presence again, not that I haven't been out of it, in it, but to reveal, Lord, in that just common sense of here we are. Bless each one here today as they go to their job. They go back to the same house. Dishes are still in the sink. Socks are still in the corner, got to be picked up. Wash has got to be done. But Lord, let them see it in your presence. It's a rod thrown at your feet, and make it a living thing, for we serve the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen, and God bless. And don't forget your offering for the Gideons as you retire.